Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. You have the words of life. We have no place else to go. May it be your word that changes us, that transforms us, that moves upon our hearts, directs our steps, that makes us good. God, thank you so much for the mission statement that you've given us. May your word penetrate our culture, our heart, the staleness of our mind, our boredom. May your word penetrate our boredom, God. May we get up and do something with what you've given us, God. May we not neglect so great a salvation. And we do pray for safety tonight for all the people that will be in this, especially in our town, and the people all across our country that are celebrating. Pray that those that are shooting off fireworks would be safe. We pray that those that are protesting would be safe, and those that are rejoice in the fact that this is your nation and not just another day to drink a beer. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. With the clearness and logic is only the person that wrote the book of Hebrews, and if it was the Apostle Paul, it would make sense, because this chapter is one of those chapters that speaks so concisely. And now you do have to peel back one or two layers of it to really figure out exactly what's the point. Because you can read chapter 5 and you say to yourself, what's the point of the whole chapter? But I'm going to tell you the point of the chapter, and without my personal interpretation, but with the word interpreting the way it's supposed to. We talked last week in chapter 4 about Christ being the high priest who passed through the heavens. Last week we looked, and Christ was the high priest, one who could sympathize with us, even empathize with us, if you guys remember that. We talked about that briefly. Now, continuing, that kind of should have been one study. Last week and this week should have been one study, but that would have been a 2.5-hour study, so you guys got lives to live. And continuing from last week's study, listen to this. Now again, with the conciseness of a professor from a college university, he speaks these things. So today is almost like a pen and piece of paper, write it down, what's the point here? And then at the end, we're going to do what Bible scholars call the hermeneutics, the application of our lives. Let me get my glasses so I can look like a professor as well. Because the truth is, I can't see much without them. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God. Now, everybody got that? A high priest that God appoints, he's taken from among men, and he's appointed for men in the things pertaining to God. So the job of a high priest, the calling of a high priest, is to serve men for God. In this day and age, when so many men are serving men for themselves, like politicians that are supposed to be servants of the people are really servants of their own pockets, right? We know that. On that thought, he says, what a real high priest is, somebody who's taken from amongst the people to serve the people on behalf of God. Okay, you got that? We're rolling. That he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Sacrifices for sins. Now, the word sacrifice or sacrifices occurs 278 times in the Word of God. So it must be something somewhat important. Now, had you not known this and you never understood Judaism or Hebrews or remember, this book is written to the Jews, so this is why the writer of this book is explaining these things. A sacrifice in the Old Testament to the Jew was essential for the forgiveness of sin. Do you guys understand this? If you don't, actually, it really doesn't matter who we're going there anyway. Turn to Leviticus chapter 1. Keep your place here. We're going to come back. Turn to Leviticus chapter 1 so you guys understand this. Leviticus is the third book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. So all the way in the front of the Bible, you'll see Genesis, Leviticus is like 40 chapters. I'm sorry, Exodus is like 40 chapters, and Leviticus. Everybody's in Leviticus? Now, the Lord called Moses and spoke to him. Sorry. Let's start in chapter 1, and then we're going to go to 3. Chapter 1. Now, the Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering of the Lord to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd and the flock. And if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priests and Aaron's sons shall bring the blood, sprinkle the blood all around the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the meeting, and he shall skin the burnt offering, cut it in pieces." Give me your attention. Right now you might be, ew, ew, what is that? Well, let me explain it to you. Let's go back pre-law. The law of Moses, the law of God, is what we're reading now. But go before the law was given to men, and we have the first two sons. Anybody? Cain and Abel. Who got that one? Nice job. Cain brings a bunch of fruit and says, "God, I want to thank you for my life. Here's some basket of fruit." His brother Abel says, "God, I want to thank you for my life." And he brings a blood sacrifice, an animal from his flock, and he gives it to God. And God says, "That is the sacrifice." Now, looking back at the time, no wonder Cain got mad. He's like, why did he reject my offering? Why was my offering not accepted? I don't understand. Why my offering? And God says to him, whoa, relax. Here's literally what he says. "I'm doing something here. I'm trying to create a picture. It's not that yours wasn't accepted. It's that his is a foreshadowing of things to come. A male without blemish who would die, spill his blood, something perfect for the imperfect." Even back then, this foreshadowing, this beginning, had a purpose and had a reason. Well, you know what happened to Cain, though? Let bitterness eat up his heart. "Oh, I don't want to do that. Why isn't God take me the way I am?" Oh, no. The creator of your very life doesn't accept you the way you are. He accepts you the way he wants you to be, and he helps you to get there for your own benefit. You get sharpened. You get tested. You guys with this yet? Oh, it's going to get more clear. Turn to Leviticus chapter 3. "When his offering is a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on his head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle and meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, so who offers this blood? The priests? So the people who sinned bring their offering. The priests accept the offering and they bring it to God. And now we just read that every priest is taken from among men. Yeah, I'm setting you all up today. And here's what I'm setting you up for. You all are priests and priestesses in this world, appointed by God to bring others to God for their own good, and they don't know it. And the people you minister to, they're going to hate you. The people that you're sent to love, they're going to hate you. For if they hated him, they're going to hate you. He came to his own, the Bible says, and his own received him not. Same thing with you. Today, when you're at your barbecue, hanging with your family, hey, can we pray for the food? Huh? What'd you say? Can we pray for the food? I didn't hear you. What are you talking about? Can we pray for the food? Prayer? What do you need, a crutch? Oh, Christian Bob, there he is. Oh, and they're all going to make fun of you, aren't they? And you might not be able, you might not even be able to say anything. Yeah, man, I just don't want to hear it anymore. I'm so sick and tired of my family. Just because I go to church, big deal. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And those are the people God sent you to be a priest or a priestess to. And that's the worst part of it. Like you go to I used to go to Catholic church, we used to be priests. Oh, hey, Father, how you doing? You know, they got us all. Here, we're supposed to be priests. Where's our honor? Where's our honor? We're outcasts. We're made fun of. We're mocked. By people. Oh, man. That's the setup, but we ain't started yet. We have not even started yet. Back, please, to Hebrews chapter 5. Let's make this picture clearer. So now that I've showed you, in order for you, if you were born in the time of the Jews, if you were born when God chose Abraham, and Abraham had Isaac and Jacob, if you were born then, and you did something wrong, something you knew that was bad, and you know it, don't let the world tell you that guilt is from society. Guilt is not from society. It's something inside you. You know darn well when you do something wrong, it's either the conviction of God or something in your Bible calls it the conscience of man. Just sits in your heart wrong. Man, I just feel like what the Jew had to do is he had to go to the priest. He had to take his bull if he had a lot of money, or a lamb if he had a little bit of money, or if he was poor, he could even just bring a little dove. Could you please bring this to God for me? The priest would go, okay. Rip! He'd tear its neck open. It's open up its blood, and the guy would have to have his hand on it. He said, you know, something had to die because you sinned. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it might not make sense to you, but you didn't make man, did you? God made man. And God made the sacrificial system. God did all that. So here's what you can do if you don't agree with that. Make your own world. Create it yourself. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you go home? Actually, on your way home, stop at like Ross's or Michael's and get some clay. And make all these little things out of clay. And here, just go, breathe life into it. That's what God did. You can't do that, can you? So stop telling God how we should run everything, okay? And now, 5,000-6,000 years later, we, according to 1 John 1:9, instead of having to bring our sacrifice to the temple, we just look to Christ and say, God, I have this conviction in my heart, this weirdness, this I did something terrible. And God says, that's why my son shed his blood, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Just so all you have to do is look to him and you're forgiven. Wow. That's so much easier. Now, next time you're reading the Old Testament and when you hear how the Jews were looking for Messiah, when is Messiah going to come? And all those Psalms that talk about Messiah, the Messiah, the Messiah, the Messiah. Why? Because people were sick and tired of having, oh my goodness, if you were like really bad, you're like, man, what's happening to my flock? Right? You with me? Make it clearer now. Verse 2, we're really rolling along, aren't we? He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Verse 2 is point number 2. If you truly are a priest among men, among women, You should have compassion because you're just as weak as they were. It's like I have the benefit of 25 years of walking with the Lord, but I remember day one. I remember day one. I couldn't do nothing right. Cussing and fussing and all this kind of stupid stuff I was doing. And like other Christians were like, dude, relax, man. Like, relax, man. F you. You know, you tell me what to do, blah, blah, blah. Whoa. You know, you're in church now. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't act like you. Well, guess what? Don't even wanna. How's that sound? Like we gotta have this thing that happens in our lives where God does the work. Like the one thing I love about the fish in the back of the car is that nobody knows what it means except other Christians. The one thing I hate about it is that we all don't swim in the same direction. We all don't look the same. And that's probably one of the worst things about the church is you get here and hey, you know what you need to do? As soon as you come here, you need to wear a button-down shirt like me. Make sure you wear boots also, please. All right? Make sure you become some kind of, maybe even a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant or something like that. You know, that's the stupidest thing in the world. God saved you for where you're at for the purpose that he has. And he wants to take you where you're at and use you in that. Make you a priest among not just the people, your people. That's the best, man. That's the best. He wants to make you a priest amongst your people. Man, I'm so glad. Like, you know, I'm really into jujitsu and martial arts and all of that stuff. And I'm so glad that God didn't say, nah, you know what? Now that you're saved, let me take you out of that. It's a violent world. You know, people punching each other in the face. Let me get you out of there. No, he didn't do that. He said, I want you to stay right there because those people need Christ also. Fishermen need Christ also. Homeless people need Christ also. Rich, poor, every color, everybody. We have a saying in jiu-jitsu, jiu-jitsu is for everybody. You know what? That's not true. But you know what is true? Jesus is for everybody. Absolutely. And the first things first, verse 2, a true high priest, he has compassion. Because he knows what weakness is, right? That's why God took him from among men to witness, to share, to love, to serve men for God. Oh, this is starting to make so much better sense now, isn't it? Verse 3, because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. See, the high priest, although he sat at the door and he killed the ram, the lamb, whatever it was, guess what? He had to do it for himself also. So you who are walking perfect with God, you're a liar. You need God just as much as everybody else does. So don't sit and make believe, well, now that I'm a Christian, I read that verse before. I've read Matthew chapter 6 and I understand. You understand nothing. I've been reading the Bible every day for 25 years, and I woke up this morning reading stuff, I was blown away. Like, I never saw that before. Where have you been all my life? So important, the fresh look, the fresh eyes that the apostle that wrote this wants us to have. Because, man, don't ever, ever lose that. Don't grow stale and old and crusty, man. Don't do that. Verse 4, and no man takes this honor to himself, but he was called by God just as Aaron was. Remember we read that the sons of Aaron? Well, this is where it starts. The book of Leviticus was written to the Levites, which were the sons of Aaron. But oh, so much so are we modern day Levites, Christian. Modern day Levites. And let me tell you one of the things about being a Levite. You didn't have an inheritance. When God was handing out the land, if you ever look at a map of Israel, you'll see all the different areas broken down. And this was for Gad, and this was for Gilead, and this was for Dan. And all the different areas were given to the people. And you look and go, hey, how come there's nothing for Levi and his family? Because they had something better. Their inheritance was from God. They were supposed to live everywhere. and yet had nothing on this earth. Did you hear that? Levite, priest, Christian, you're supposed to be everywhere, but be a stranger and a sojourner on this earth. Man, this is a great chapter, guys. For some, it might not be. For some, you're like, man, you know, that's just a heavy trip you're laying on me, man. I don't need another thing to do. Yeah, but this thing to do is what you're really called to do. This thing to do is what you were really made to do. And if I might put it this way, Christian, this thing is what you're supposed to do. Sorry to ruin your life. I know you have things going the way you want them to go. I know things are rolling right along, man. I know you got that COVID bump and the money's coming in, but ain't about that. Sorry, never was. Continuing. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest, but it was he, speaking the Father, who said to him, now he quotes two places in the Psalms, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Please, again, give me your attention. I told you it was more of a collegiate, professorial type of teaching today. He says, you know, even Christ himself didn't appoint himself a high priest. He didn't come to earth as a high priest. God said to him, today I've begotten you. Now, listen to me. This is one of the strangest principles in the entire Bible. No man on earth understands it. But somehow, God is only one, yet exists in three parts. Father, Son, and Spirit. And was it like God was in heaven and said, you know what? You're my son. Go to earth. I don't know. The idea is kind of mind-blowing. And you'll see later on in the chapter, he says this to them. You can't get this right now. You're too slow in your brain right now. But hold that thought somewhere in the chamber of one of the bullet places in your brain, whatever I'm saying. Keep your place here. Turn to Genesis chapter 14. That's the first book of the Bible. Lots of turning today. Keeping your place there, Genesis chapter 14. Chapter 14, I'm gonna summarize it. Abram, he's not Abraham yet. His name is still Abram. God had not breathed his life into him yet. And in case you don't know, if you're new, when God breathes life into you, you go from Abram to Abraham. I have a cousin, his name is Aaron. And Aaron moved to Israel to be a priest, to be a rabbi. And when he was in training for a rabbi, at some point in time, they changed his name to Aaron, A-A-H-A-H-O-N, to R-O-N, to Haran, A-H-R-O. And I was like, what did they do there? He goes, well, that's what they did. They put the ch. You ever hear a Hebrew? That's like a word in Hebrew, but it's the breath of God. God just breathed and spit a little bit on you when he did it. So Abram has a house. And in this house, in this nation that he's built for himself, he has a little nephew whose name is Lot. And he calls him his brother. He's his brother's son. And Lot gets taken captive because Lot loves the world. Abram went and got him. Abram had a family member that was lost in the world. So Abram went and got him. And the odds were against him. He took 300 guys, and he went up against 5 different kingdoms to get this guy. Because you and God, you make a majority. There's a great, great story in the Bible. Elijah says, God, open his eyes. And Gehazi opens his eyes and he sees that there is more for them than against them. But you can't see that from this side. You think that everybody at your workplace is against you, but God's for you. You think that everybody in your family is against you, but God's with you. You and God make a majority. Amen? So, verse 13, chapter 14, then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed 318 trained servants who were born in his own house, and he went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and he also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then, ready? Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave them, and he gave him a tithe of all. Please give me your attention. I know there's a lot of information going out here, but when it's over, it's going to give you a little spiritual indigestion that's going to be good for you. This guy appears in the Bible. And he only appears in two places in the Old Testament, here and in the book of Psalms. And then in the book we're reading, Hebrews, talks about him over and over again. But that's it. We don't know who his father was. We don't know who his mother was. We don't know where he started. Some people say he's what's called a Christophany. A Christophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus. Before he came as a baby, some people said he came as Melchizedek. I don't necessarily believe that, but I have no idea who Melchizedek is. But we hear that Christ was a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, meaning since Melchizedek didn't have a beginning and end, so Christ himself. Well, who appointed you? At one point in time, the Pharisees said to him, "Who told you to come here and say this stuff?" If you guys remember, "I am that I am." And they were like, "Oh, we're going to kill him now. He just called himself God." So who is this Melchizedek that he would give him a tithe? First of all, that's how they got the idea of a tithe. The word tithe just literally means 10%. So this guy shows up, he's got bread and wine, and he's like, here's your 10% tip or something for the food. You know, I don't know. That's how come people say you tithe 10% at a restaurant. That's cheap. Come on, don't tithe 10%. Now that you got that picture of Melchizedek back again, please to Hebrews. And here's where it gets a little dicey for some. Speaking of Christ, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Please, before we finish that, he says, the writer, you know what Christ did? He asked God for another way. What made Christ so special? Not just in the spirit, but also in the flesh. Please, keep your place here. Again, we're turning. Oh my goodness, we're going every place. Turn a few pages to the left to Luke chapter 2 in verse 39. Luke chapter, did I say 2? 22. Luke 22 in verse 39 we're going to start. The day of Christ's arrest. He's hanging out with his guys, and he's trying to explain to them, okay, here's this, how's this going down. Let me explain to you guys. From now on, You know, Christ did this weird thing in the Bible, and if you ever read in the words of Christ, the words that are in red in your Bible and some of your Bibles, it's really weird. If you visualize that he wasn't talking to them at all, but he was talking to angels, it's such an interesting thing to do. It's like he knew he was talking to people that wouldn't get it, but he was talking to them like they did get it. Like he was talking to angels, like he was almost talking maybe sometimes to the Father himself. It's so weird how he does this. He explains to them these things. From now on, I don't want you to do this. I want you to do this. At one point, Peter says to him, okay, I got two swords. And Christ literally goes, that's enough. But just like us, guys, this weird thing happens. The Lord Jesus himself had, ready? Second thoughts. It's like this whole suffering, dying, whipping, beating, torture, mocking, nailed to a cross, carrying a cross. Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to this. So he says, you know what, God, I got an idea. If you give me a little bit more time, you know, where we're having good fruit in ministry here, maybe there's another way. Now, obviously, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm paraphrasing with sanctified imagination, reading what we're about to read. 22 and verse 39. Coming out, he went to Mount Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I don't know about you guys. Like, when we join hands, sometimes my family prays for our food. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we pray before the bread. Sometimes we pray during. We don't have, like, a thing that we do. It's just when we feel like praying. And sometimes we have hungry prayers. God, thank you so much for the food. It's really good. But there's a more earnest type of prayer. There is a prayer of, now, Christ giving us this picture that, it's just a weird, I'm trying to visualize, I'm wondering if I was ever there, if I ever felt all of hell come against me while I'm praying, you know, like a superhero thing with the, and that's what it was. And it says, he prayed so earnestly that he literally was sweating blood. Crazy, crazy story. And listen to his prayer. If it be your will, let this cup pass before me. It's like he had a cup. I know it's in here. And it ain't just one thing. It ain't one swallower. It ain't just a jagged pill. It's a whole lot of suffering. But you know what, God? There's another way. If it's your will. But if it's not, I'll take it. But if it's your will, take it. But if not, it's a weird thing here. It's a very, very weird thing that's going on here, something that we didn't expect. And so is that not like us when God does not answer the prayer that we want the way we want? It makes no sense that woman had to die. I don't understand. We just set this girl up. We helped her with all. I mean, you have no idea what Julia and Rachel, how they spent time. I mean, and then all of a sudden we get a call. Mickey, how many times you clean that girl's house out? Oh, my goodness. You don't know how. And listen, I might be out of line here. It's a crazy little thing here. But I mean, woman was 80 years old, was she? She waited like 78 years to accept Christ as her Savior. She'd been playing games her whole life. She came in here. She didn't expect to get saved. She just wanted to come to a place where they could help her out a little bit, you know? craziest thing. And then finally she gets saved. We baptize her in the ocean. And then she goes and gets a phone call. Oh, okay, you can come and stay with us. She ran out of money again. Who knows what she was doing with the money? Nobody knows. And she's there a week and dies. And the angels are rejoicing. But God, you could say but God in two ways. You could say but God, or you could say but God. You feel that? It's a crazy thing. It's a crazy, crazy thing. Go back to Hebrews. Yeah, I think that's the last place we're going to turn. Let's read this now again with the understanding that the guy that wrote this knew about this time, and that was called the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane literally means the place where they press the olives into oil. Crazy. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his godly fear. You hear what that said? It said that God heard him because Christ submitted to him. But guess what God's answer? Guess what the Father's answer to his son was? It was no. Oh, do we like when God says yes? Don't like when God says no. Just like our kids. They love us when we say yes and hate us when we say no. Oh, but my friends are doing it. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Hey, listen, that almost sounds irreverent. If I wasn't reading a Bible passage, I would say there's a certain amount of irreverence there. Christ learned obedience? Yeah. Yeah. This chapter's a little bit on the weird side to me. Why would Christ have to learn obedience? He was God the Son and the Son of God. When you are being led of the Lord, priest or priestess, you too must learn obedience. And learning that obedience from Christ the same way, God, I have an idea. What if God says no to that idea? You say, okay, I'm on it anyway. I'm on it anyway, right? I know, it's hard to understand. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Before we read verse 11, which is the last verse of the day, let's just re-get this. Let's just recalibrate what we learned. We're called to be priests and priestesses. As a matter of fact, I had a verse. I don't remember where it is. Here it is. Exodus 19 and 6 says that you, to the Jews, are a kingdom of priests. And the application for us, Exodus 19, 6, the Jews screwed it all up. The Jews were the chosen of God, called by God to be a kingdom of priests, to go out into the world and say, come on, worship Yahweh. He loves you. He's going to do all these great things for you. And they said, nah, we're going to keep this for ourselves. We're going to keep this right here. Oh, you don't know God? We do. And here in Exodus 19, says right at the beginning, he says, no. You're supposed to be a kingdom of priests. Now, if you're born in this century, like all of us are, we think priests and we think of the guy in the robes who has the swinging thing. And no! A priest, a saint, is a servant to the world to shine God's light, to bring all those who need him, come with me. And there's a great, the Lord Jesus tells a great parable in the Bible about this whole thing. He says, a guy who goes out to work in the field and he agrees to get paid one silver dollar for the day. And he needs more workers. So all throughout the day, he says, come on, come work in the field, come work in the field, come work in the field. Until the last part of the day, there's still people coming. And when they leave, he starts giving them all the same amount. And some of the guys that got in early in the day were like, hey, wait a second. Wait a second. How come he's getting paid the same as me? And him, Christ telling this story, he goes, hey. You agreed from the beginning that you were going to get paid what you got paid. This is my stuff. Don't tell me what to do with my stuff. And oh, the picture there. Like, it's great. The people who get saved, like, right before, the day before Christ comes back to earth, right, the day before judgment, they get to go to the same place in heaven you go. Is that fair? Is that fair? 25 years ago, I got saved. 1994. This ain't no fun in this life, man. It's been a grind, man. Every day telling myself not to do what my heart says do. Oh, you need that. No, I don't need that. No, you need that. Every day, I did the wrong thing. I went the right direction. I went the wrong direction. Every day, you said the wrong thing. You said the right. You got a little wound up. Some days I go, God, I'm exhausted. I'm absolutely exhausted. You know, I had none of these problems when I was in the world. I was miserable and angry all the time, and it was great. Now, I don't got to just worry about doing the right thing. I got to do the right thing with the right attitude. And yet the people that get saved the day before Christ returns, they're going to get paid the same as me. I'm not going to be too judgmental on those people in that parable or story. I was just going to be careful. Crazy. This is a great chapter, man. If you receive this chapter. So he says to him again in verse 10. Called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Here, that's what I said before. Look, I could talk to you guys about the Trinity. I can talk to you about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I can talk to you about repentance from dead works. I can talk to you about all these deeper things. But here's what the apostle who wrote this, whoever it was that wrote this, was saying to the people. You want me to talk to you about Melchizedek? Then you don't even believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. You want to know about Melchizedek? He said, no, these things are hard to explain, and you ain't got no ears for it right now. I got an idea. Let's start from the beginning. And next week, if there was going to be, I don't usually name, quote unquote, our teachings. But if I was going to name next week's teaching, it literally would be Foundations of the Faith. Here's the beginning. Here's the stuff you need to know from the beginning. And then maybe later on we could talk about sacrifice for sins and the rebuilding of the temple, order of Melchizedek, Cain and Abel. We could talk about all these foreshadowing. Sorry. We could talk about all these things, foreshadowing and all the things that exist in the Old and the New Testament and the correlation between the line of demarcation between the predisposition for this and the... Not yet. These are hard things to understand. And some of us, man, we still need milk, let alone big old hunks of meat. You guys, you get that? So, close your Bible. If you want to be a priest to this world, a priestess to this world, you better think about it first. Listen to what I tell you. I don't know why anybody in their right mind would get saved. I have no idea. It seems to be the stupidest thing ever. I mean, like, ever. Why would anybody? Yes, come to the Lord Jesus and completely wreck your life, quote unquote. completely say no to everything your heart wants to do, have a fight with your conscience every single day, why in the world would anybody accept Christ as their Savior on the surface is absolutely beyond me. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because nobody can explain to you the fullness of fulfillment. I can tell you guys, I didn't wake up this morning with confusion. I woke up next to my wife, my kids were sleeping. I went out on my patio and I looked out over the horizon and I said, God, I know exactly what you want me to do today. And this is what I'm going to do. And if you would be so kind as to give me your Holy Spirit so that I don't screw it up too much. And if you don't know that fulfillment, the only thing I can offer you by introducing you to my best friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, is trials and suffering, pain and misery. I mean, he might take away all your money. He might take away your health. You might lose your job. Your family might completely abandon you. And all those things, he says, I got you through that. I'm like, yeah, well, you know what I want? I want a rose garden, okay? That's what I want, with no thorns. Yeah, then Christianity's not for you. Jordan Peterson, I love that guy, he said this. You want to be the most important guy at the funeral. And you could substitute guy for girl in there, for sure. You want to be the person who goes to a funeral and people go, what do you think of this? And he said, man, listen, don't worry about death. That's just another path, one that we all got to take. We're just here in this world for a short time. It's a little blip. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but he was so young. She was so vibrant. See, you want to be the most important person at the funeral. That's what a priest of God does. They do the hard things. They do the difficult things. They do the tough things. They're willing to be used by God. And sometimes they look good, and sometimes they look bad. Sometimes they do right things, and sometimes they mess up completely. So, if you want to be a priest or a priestess, stand up and dedicate yourself to the Lord today. If you've not done that yet, if you've not dedicated yourself, if you've not stood before people and said, yes, I want to be a priest to this world, a priestess to this world, stand up, and I'll say this prayer with you. I don't care if it's everybody or nobody. It makes no difference to me. Yes, sister, absolutely. Anybody else would like to proclaim, not just making Jesus Christ your Savior, but your Lord. Amen, sister. That you want to say, you know what, God, I don't want to just get saved and go to heaven. I want to get saved and be used on earth. Amen. Priests and priestesses. Right now we got enough priestesses in here. Anybody else want to be a priest or a priestess to God? All right, Brother Richard. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Christians, be praying. There's some in here who are chained to their seat and they don't even know why. They're afraid. There's 25 people in here, and we can't stand up in front of 25 people, and yet Christ was crucified before the world. Naked, the angels. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sister. Yes. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to say a prayer. I will lead you in this prayer. You're literally going to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Again, I'm not offering you anything nice here. I'm offering you the best fulfillment in your heart you ever imagined. But man, there's suffering that's going to happen. But God's going to use you mightily. He's going to use you mightily. If God can use a criminal like me, he can certainly use you guys. Anybody else want to stand and make him your Savior and your Lord. Anybody else? All right, Ash. So, say this. Say, dear God, nice and loud, I open my heart, and I let you inside. Be my God. Be my Savior. Be my friend. And be my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Use me in my family, in my work, in my friends, in my enemies, in this world, to save people. I am your priest. In Christ's name, amen. 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 You may be seated. You may be seated. If you need a Bible, I told you, you can take the one that's there. If you need to talk to somebody, there will be sisters and brothers up here. I'm up here if you need to talk. If you choose to go to church here, we'd love to have you. If not, man, just find a place where they teach the Word of God and just keep going. That's step one. Step one to becoming a priest or a priestess for God is just reading the Bible, going to church. That's it. That's day one. Chapter 1, verse 1, all right? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day, for this study. Thank you again for this amazing country, God. May you continue to sharpen us and refine us. May you continue to make this place the place you want it to be, a light to the world, a kingdom of priests to the entire world, God. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for our fellow creations in this world that you'd use us to affect them. Thank you, God, for Independence Day. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.